a good ball played into Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it! It is! Take a ball! Villa in the lead!
Good evening, Aston Villa fans. And welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe. You can help me get to the road to 2K, the 1,300 subscribers, and you can follow me on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music. Let's spread awareness of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Make sure to hit the like button. This evening, I'm joined by my special guest, Oliver Hargreaves, who is the host of the Butter Pie podcast. This is the match preview. I'll be doing the pre-match talk show, Preston North End versus Aston Villa. On Sunday, it's a 1:30 p.m. kickoff. This is Aston Villa's first FA Cup final in 10 years. And Preston is the first in over 58 years. And it's a huge opportunity. A place in the FA Cup semi-final and a place at Wembley is at stake. It's a pleasure to have the show, Oliver. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chad. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this episode. I think it'll give a lot of Aston Villa fans a good insight as well.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we played, it feels almost about 10 years ago when you were in the Championship. I remember you having John Terry at the back, and now you've got someone like Darcy and Konsa. So, you know, it's been a good rise for Villa. Not so much for Preston, but fingers crossed we'll get there one day.
It's amazing how times have changed. The last time we played each other, it might have been at Deepdale. I think it might have been 2018. Did Tommy Abraham score or something?
I think so, yes. I think Ben Pearson scored for us. I think it was one of his only goals that he did score. Obviously, unlucky for Villa. But the one that does spring out to me was actually at Villa Park, where I believe it was either 2-2 or 3-3. That's the one that really springs out to me. We've had some good games. We've had some great games along the years. Obviously, from where you were in 2018 to where you are now, it's a bit different from mid-table championship, Champions League.
You can always have thought as a Villa fan, but now we've been going into the Champions League quarter-final. And now they haven't even got an FA Cup quarterfinal as well. And we've still got a chance of getting Champions League football again.
Unbelievable.
We're fighting on three fronts.
I mean, Unai Emery's come in and done an incredible job. The last time you played at Deepdale, you had Dean Smith, and now you've got Unai Emery. I think that speaks volumes, so to speak. And to be fair, looking at the Villa squad now, it's light and day. I mean, the best player you had back then was Jack Grealish, who was in the form of his life. But, you know, you've gone above and beyond what I think even Villa fans probably would have expected who you've been able to bring in Rashford, Asensio, Marlon, who I'm dreading to face against this weekend, to be fair, because we've got a couple of injuries in our back line, a couple suspended as well. So it may end up being a rugby score, to be fair.
As fans, I do remember that sort of championship days. And since then, we've been on a real journey. You know, owners as well. Where's Edens and Nassif Sawiris? It's a remarkable story, really.
It is, and I mean, in terms of P&E, we're miles off it. Ever since the last time you played us, not much has changed. We're sitting in our nice happy place of 11th to 14th place in the championship, not moved a muscle. But yeah, it's the first time in a long time that you know we've actually had something to grasp onto this game. Because not with Preston, you know what you're getting season in, season out. Yeah. There's nothing to really clamour onto. And here we find ourselves in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, 90 minutes or 120 minutes, whatever you say, away from Wembley.
Well, for you, guys.
And who knows?
It's probably the biggest game of the season for you. Been Preston have never been this far.
It's the biggest game for the last 10 years.
Yeah, for a long time.
It's the biggest game in a long time, and we've got nothing to lose. And I think that's going to play. Well, I mean, obviously, as much advantage as possible, because realistically, I don't think there's going to be many chances outside of our own half, so to speak. I think your defence will be sitting on the halfway line very comfortably for the majority of the game. So, as I say, 90 minutes of football. Anything can happen. Biggest game in 10 years for P&E. And if we can make Wembley, if we can somehow defeat the Giants of Aston Villa, then it's dreamland.
Well, I'll be rude, but I don't really watch much championship football. I do watch some games on Sky, but I tend to watch a lot of the highlights as well, so I'm not really in touch with a lot of championship football. We want to catch results when
it's light and day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's light and day from the Premier League of the quality. In terms of how, well, I mean, realistically, Preston are probably not the greatest on the eye for even championship standards, I'm going to be honest to you, Chad. Yeah. The way that we're probably going to end up playing against you is just sitting in the low block for as long as possible and just hoping you don't slam one in from 30 yards. So, yeah, it's not going to be a pretty watch if it's a nil-nil for longer than 60 minutes. It's going to be a real horrible game. And that's the one that I'm actually hoping to see. I'd rather see us absolutely rot out Aston Villa for 90 minutes and maybe, just maybe, we get it to penalties. But I can't see that happening at all.
Well, let's you've got talk a too bit more about the game. So what do you expect from Sunday?
Sorry, you cut out then, Chad. What do you say?
What do you expect from Sunday?
Oh, so what do I expect from Villa in the game?
Yeah, just in general, what do you expect from the game?
How I personally see it is the way we set up under Paul Heckingbottom, who came in obviously replacing Ryan Lowe. I feel like there's a lot more optimism going into the game. There's a lot more structure for our players. Preston normally play with three at the back with wing backs, and I feel like that's just going to transition into a flat five at the back with two holding midfielders. So it's realistically going to look like seven behind the ball at all costs. I think we'll try to frustrate Villa to minimal chances around our box. I don't think there's going to be many chances within the 18-yard box. We don't usually allow teams that much time within there, because we are resolute, we are solid. Paul Heckingbottom, obviously a defender of trade, has instilled that into us. There's a statistic actually that I think we're second in the league for goals conceded within our box. So realistically, I would anticipate there to be quite a few shots from outside the box from Villa. You've got the quality, obviously, of Rashford, Asensio. I'm sure you'll be able to pick one into the top corner. But in my heart and my hope, how I see it is we're going to try and frustrate for 60 minutes, keep you stay outside of the box. Hopefully that your final third of whoever you play, it doesn't matter. It could be Marlon, Rashford,
well, I think whoever. What you're going
to
do is
keep them to the outside of the box.
You'll come out the box. And then I think you'll sort of come at us in the first half. But I do think on the counter-attack, that's where we could cause a big threat for you guys.
Yeah. I just hope we don't overexpose ourselves when we do come forward. And that's what I feel like we'll end up doing when we do concede, I should say. But that's our only sort of threat, especially against yourselves, is if you are overindulging, you know, you're playing with centre-halves on the halfway line trying to, you know, power over our low block. If we're able to get the ball into the middle of the park where we have a couple of our creative players like Maz Srockyar, like Stefan Fordarson, and to be able to get the ball in behind, hopefully Millicent Osmanic, I know if you've heard some rumours around him, he's a bit of a loose cannon. If he is playing, he's probably our best of getting in behind and maybe just maybe stretching the Villa defence to be able to have a shot on goal, and fingers crossed with North End, it does go in. But knowing my luck, we'll score and it'll get chalked off by VAR. So, yeah, that's how I can see it. If we can get the ball into the centre of the park,
well, I think we're gonna go full strength. We're gonna pick our best than ever. It's a huge opportunity.
It is. And the only thought I was thinking, because North End fans have been thinking about especially the best goalkeeper in the world, Emiliano Martinez, back-to-back Golden Glove winner. We were thinking, we hope he's tired. We hope he's jet-lagged from Argentina. But it doesn't seem to be the case. If you do go full strength, which it's looking more realistic than not, it's going to be a good watch because, don't get me wrong, I'm going to see some incredible players at Deepdale, but the strength and quality is going to be like, I've got a feeling it's going to be a bit like men against boys. But if we're able to frustrate, if we're able to get the ball in the middle, anything can happen. And Chad, it's football, anything can happen.
And also, we've got a lot of players that have just come back from injury. Paul Torres is back. The likes of Onana. So I think with Villa now, I think we're going to end the season with a fully fit squad at the moment.
Do you think that them sort of players that Unai Emery is going to see them and give this opportunity as like kind of one to get them back to match fitness? Because obviously North End aren't Premier League quality by far. And obviously you mentioned you've got Champions League quarterfinal to come up against. You've got potentially even to be able to qualify in Europe within the league. Do you feel like Unai Emery will see this as a opportunity to, although play full strength, but also to allow those that have just come back from injury to play?
Yeah, I think what you should do, I still think you should tread with caution. You need to rotate the squad. We don't want to risk, for example, getting the likes of Rodgers injured this start of the season. So, Henry, I'm sure he'll manage it well.
He's possibly the worst tournament manager you could possibly come up against as an opposition view. You see what he's done with Sevilla. I mean, for me as well in the Champions League, when I watch the Champions League, Villa are the underdogs, realistically. And you go into playing against Bayern Munich and properly giving it to them. It's a good sight to see. And fingers crossed that obviously when you play against the big guns, you go right at them. Hopefully, when you come up against the small guns like Preston, you leave a little bit under. Like, the best way to describe it is whenever you've played against Southampton this season, they've not got really got anything to go for. They're going to sit in a low block. They're going to frustrate you. They're going to hope and pray that there's a mistake in the back line. I'm praying that one day we get at least one chance to be able to potentially stick one in behind. But yeah, I mean,
this season,
the player quality you've got,
Henry's done really well to manage the rotation in playing in Europe at the same time, the Champions League, and even if you go back to last season. In the Conference League as well.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the squad that you have, the quality you've got on the bench as well to be able to bring on now. I mean, yeah, you could play totally your bench players. You could probably name me the worst Villa player in your squad, and he'd probably get a game for North End.
Yes, true. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, obviously we have Kane Kessler-Hayden on loan, who can't play this game. He's been sensational this season for us. He's been a real bright spark. I don't think he's ready for step up for the Premier League, so to speak. How I see it is, I know what you did with Cameron Archer, same kind of what you did with Jadon Philogene, of where you ended up selling them to a Championship low-end Premier League club, but with a buyback clause to save your bacon, so to speak. And I feel like that's what's going to happen in the summer with Kessler-Hayden. I just don't think he's now... He's great for P&E level. He's superb. Yeah. He's one of our best players, but
where's he playing?
Is he going to be playing for them Leeds? Where does he play?
How's he been playing? His performances.
He's been brilliant. Yeah. I know Villa fans, obviously in pre-season especially, noted that his defensive attributes probably weren't there. But he's come with an abundance, and he's been playing both wing backs, right wing back. He's been playing left wing back, and as of recently, against the Burnley game 3-0, he actually played right centre back in a back three.
Yeah.
And acted more of a sweeper. Obviously, the pace he's got is unbelievable. Like, I put him up there with Kyle Walker for the pace that he's got. So he's always got a backup option if he makes a mistake. I'd love him back next season. I don't think we'll get him back next season, don't get me wrong. But the one thing that he's just lacking is, because we like to play wing backs so high up and get them into the attacking phrase. He's had about four absolute golden opportunities to score, Chad, and he's blazed them all over by about 20 yards. So
he's finished from the top there, yeah.
The goal will come. Yeah, he's 22 now. He's starting to get to the age where you're needing the product to come if you're wanting to make the next jump, I feel. And I just don't feel like that's going to be at Villa. I mean, I know you've got Matty Cash, and sometimes he gets a bit scrutiny. Sometimes I read something about Matty Cash. Matty Cash is levels above Kessler-Hayden. And I just feel like it's going to be another scenario where sell him to the Championship. If he does amazingly like Philogene or Cameron Archer does, bring him back. You've got a buyback clause.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. But he's been a real bright spot for us this season. It is. And it's a like a loan, but in terms of it, you're able to sell them off. And if they don't do good, you've got money for them. So it's a win-win scenario for Villa. And I don't know why other clubs don't do it. Because you never really see other clubs have buyback clauses.
Successful loan players?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's because of the talent of the academy. I mean, I've never known as many... I mean, obviously, you look at Chelsea with their academy players, but Villa have got to be up there for one of the best academies in England, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah,
Archer, and hopefully, I mean, you've got a couple of youngsters who've obviously come up through the system. Jacob Ramsey's one. He was a Villa product, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, as well.
And I think he'll have a. I think personally, if he does play. I like Jacob Ramsey quite a lot. I've got a feeling that he's going to be most effective this game. I feel like in terms of the way that Villa are needing to expose North End, is having that ball in the attacking midfielders just in front of our front line. And if they're able to, you know, pinpoint the pass, if they're able to create different chances, that's where they'll be most effective. So, I mean... Even though the players that you already have, you know, you've got the Rashfords, you've got the Marlins, you've got Ollie Watkins, you've got so many players. It's those bright sparks in and around the 18-yard box.
More strength in depth.
100%. I mean, realistically, you could roll on, roll off subs if you wanted to. you could probably bring half of the academy lads on. And they'd still make a statement. I mean, personally, how do you see the game panning out from a Villa side? Because obviously, in my view, I'm feeling that we're going to try and frustrate. I know you mentioned that on the counter attack when we get exposed when they come in. But how do you feel like Villa are going to try to like set up against this low block?
Good. I think we'll start off with absorbing the pressure. The answer's not going to answer. I think Preston, like I said at the beginning, you're going to come at us. But then I think as well, we will keep a lot of the ball as well. Keep a lot of possession. And then we can get Knox and Watkins, give him the service. And also, Oliver, I think in this game, I think leadership's very important for us. I think Tyrone Mings, we need something like his physical presence.
He's the main one in the back line. That I mean, he's been there, done it at the championship level as well. So he's got that physicality of the championship. He knows what the calibre he has to come up against. And if we do have someone like Milutin Osmajić, who I call him a little pit bull, so to speak, that he just likes to try and smash into defenders, try and, you know, get a bit of a physical element over them. If you've got someone of Tyrone Mings' elk, you know, the strength at the back, the been there, done that, got the T-shirt, so to speak, of the championship, of the physicality, I think that'll stick down to the team. And I feel everybody's got all the
aerial ability. His clearances.
Yeah, 100%. Well. And I mean, corners as well. I mean, North End are statistically terrible at defending corners or set pieces. I feel like we concede about 12 per season. So if you've got the aerial threat of Tyrone Mings, I mean, you could name about four or five players who are towering over. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's about 6'4", isn't he?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. So he's got that height in there as well.
I think North End's tallest player, actually, is about 6'2". And, I mean, I know you're talking 2 inches or so, but, I mean, when you're coming up against Tyrone Mings and Onana, who've got the threat and the ability to be able to attack a set piece, attack a corner, could be a real threat. I mean, we may have to stick 2 men onto them naturally in the Championship, there's no VAR. So I think there's a lot of when North End defend, we like to stay close to the attackers. We like to probably, it would be penalties in the Premier League. And that's what I think is going to be our downfall, especially. I feel these set pieces, I feel these corners that maybe to break the ice, so to speak, maybe to break the barrier.
That's what Villa needs to do, I think.
When Villa did score,
take advantage of set pieces.
Yeah. 100%. And I feel like that'll be the way you score first. I feel the first goal will be a set piece. It'll be probably an in-swinging corner right underneath the keeper. Just have someone like Tyrone Mings or, as you mentioned, Nana, just trying to stick one on our keeper. Yeah, put it this way, there'll be curled toes when that ball gets whipped in from whoever it may be from Villa. But yeah, if you're able to take, you know, set pieces, I mean, I know you'll probably have a set piece coach. If you're able to take advantage of that, you're going to become a real threat for the game. I mean, realistically, you look at it, how I see it is if Aston Villa do beat Preston North End, you're my favourites for the FA Cup. I feel like
Look at the FA Cup this season. Is the most open it's ever been. The only thing, if Villa want to win a trophy, 100%. They've got to take this chance.
I agree. I mean, unfortunately for North End, obviously, you're not going to take it lightly. I know Tyrone Mings of TFT Sports, where Unai Emery went, trust me, lads, you better not forget about Preston. So, unfortunately for us, I feel like it's not going to be taken as uncarefully as we'd like. But as you mentioned, you know, if you can avoid Man City in the next draw, is how I see it. I don't know what's wrong with City, even though, I mean, you were at Villa Park, I think you could do them.
The thing is, in Man City,
it's just
one thing on any day. We could beat anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I feel that, especially in tournaments, especially in these, you know, one or two game shootouts like you do in Champions League, he's probably the best tournament manager in the world in terms of it, for being able to build up to the Europa League many times. And do you feel like you're because obviously you've got a Premier League game against Brighton midweek on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be one eye onto that, or do you feel like Unai Emery is going to make sure that no matter what, we're going to play our main players, we're going to guarantee this win against Preston, and then maybe if needs be, rotate against Brighton?
Yeah, well, I think he'll do. I think he has to rotate. But I think you've got enough options in the squad. But then after the, I think one game at a time, but do you see if they could quarter final? But then we've got some big games in the Premier League to try and get that fifth place, but. Oh, yeah, oh, we just lost Andre for a second. He's back again.
Oh.
Right. Yeah.
One second, blood. Oh, it just lagged out then. There's one way of making sure of that Europa League place, and that's winning the Champions League, Chad. So you've always got to keep optimism as Villa fans. One way of getting Europe is guaranteeing that win.
Brighton.
I'd like to know your prediction. I'd like to know your prediction. I mean, your prediction for Villa P&A. I want you to be nice, actually. I want to hear a nice, low-scoring result here, Chad.
I think it's going to be 3-1 Villa.
You know what? I'd take that. I'd take the goal. Chad.
We don't keep many clean sheets.
Well, funnily enough, And I know I'm really clutching at straws, but I watched your game against Club Brugge, and our final goal against Burnley, and the goal is practically identical. There was a long diagonal ball over the top to your right-hand side, and you scored from it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is this a coincidence? We're going to score against Villa. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. But I'd take a goal any day of the week. If it's consolation, if it's whatever, I'm right up for the cup. Anything can happen. 90 minutes of football. Fingers crossed we can get a goal. I think it's going to be 2-0, Villa. I just feel like you're going to...
We shouldn't disrespect the opposition.
We're a half-decent side. We are a half-decent side. And if you've managed to watch us against Burnley, I know they rotated quite a lot. Yeah. It was some of the best football that we played. I felt like we were on the front foot. I felt like we give as much as we could take. I felt like we were defensively solid. But the one main threat there was pacing behind from Burnley. Now, obviously, you mentioned you got that with Watkins, you got that with Marlon, you got that with Rashford, and we don't have that safety blanket of Kessler Hayden to be a sweeper.
As well, so, you know, we've got a few options in there.
You have. You've got the players to be able to play in behind, and we've not got that safety blanket of Kessler Hayden's pace. I feel that's going to be the downfall. You've got the set pieces. Once you score, once we have to come out the blocks, once we have to actually play against straight, I feel like those players there, there'll be more space in between the back lines. We'll have to push up, then you'll nick another. And it'll be any of the front three. You pick your choice. It'll all be lining up for you. Marlon, Rashford, Asensio, Watkins. Whoever wants to go, I feel like they'll nip in there and score.
Well, I'm going to read some facts. So also, you know this, Oliver. But for the ones that don't know, I'm going to read out some facts about Preston North End. So now, one of the founder members of the Football League, David Moyes, has the best win percentage for any other Preston manager, 48.29%. And during his time at Preston, he had 113 wins, now only just missing out on promotion. Then we've got a fact about Deepdale. Deepdale is widely recognised as being the oldest continuously used stadiums in the world. But this fact is contested. Then we've got the nicknames Vanilla Whites, the North End, and the PNE. Well, Preston actually as well. The first English team to win a double a long time ago now. Preston one of the few clubs to have won titles in all four tiers of English football. But yes, there is quite a few interesting facts there.
There is. And the one that springs out to me is David Moyes, because he's doing such a good job at Everton now, and he's a real, real manager. And
David Moyes.
Yeah, when Ryan Lowe was sacked, we were thinking that there's always these people. Oh, we're gonna go get David Moyes back. He loves the club. Okay. No chance. Absolutely no chance. Yeah, brilliant manager. And you mentioned there the FA Cup double. That must have been, I think that was 1888. So long enough. Put it that way.
You're too long.
Yeah, well, it's past me great granddad or great great granddad's age of watching that, to be fair. So maybe, just maybe, you know, 100 and some years later, it's our time for the cup. But I don't think so. Maybe one day. I just feel like we're way off it at the moment. So it's going to be a good game on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Well, what's nice about this fixture is, you're a founding member of the Football League. So in that way, it's actually quite nice to play a fellow founder member.
I know. Along with us together. Yeah. I think it was, what was it, 1880 when the founding members come together, and here we are in the FA Cup quarterfinals of 2025 playing against each other. So, yeah, I mean, I'd have loved it to be the final. I won't lie to you, Chad, but yeah,
of course.
But yeah, it's great. It's great to have two founding members play against each other, and it's good to keep traditions like that still afloat in football.
What it is, I think it's cup tie. It's a real traditional FA Cup tie.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I'll see, 100% there'll be no trouble at the game. Both sets of fans, you see them as a family club, realistically.
Yeah.
And they're both well run. They're both, you know, there's never been any bad words, I really think, about, you know, Villa. Obviously, when you played against Blues and there was the Jack Grealish situation. But I mean, even then, that's not your fan. We're never really in the limelight, which I feel like is a good thing in terms of it. Family-run clubs. It's a traditional game. And fingers crossed we can make a good game of it, so to speak, come Sunday, because it's going to be good to have the cameras around Deepdale. It's going to probably not be good to have VAR, but it'll be good to, you know, play against some Premier League and Champions League quality like yourselves.
Yeah. So the Aston Villa fans, to give an insight, Oliver, what has been your assessment from Preston this season? What's your thoughts of them so far?
We've been very steady, so to speak. Some may call us Preston draw end for the amount of draws we've managed to pick up this season. We've just been solid. We've not pulled up any trees. I feel like, obviously, once Heckingbottom did come in about five games into the season, right then the thought process was going to be, he's playing with his squad. He's not really his. He's having to play a certain way that suits the team, not kind of how he wants to play. So it's a bit of a kind of a rebuild of a season where we're just plugging along to get to the summer window to allow him to do what he wants with the squad. So, yeah, we've been solid. We've been hereabouts. We're not going to be pushing high up.
But you say it's been average?
Yeah. It's been how you envisage Preston North End 10 years ago is how we are now, Chad.
Yeah.
Put it that way. We've not changed one bit. So we don't pull up many trees, but we're always safe. You know, we're not really ever near the relegation battle. So, I think next season would be the one that, if you were to talk to me, I'd be like, bang up for this. You know, we've got Heckingbottom squad.
Alex McNeil, he did a good job at Preston.
He did, and then he didn't get backed in the January window. I remember we were top of the league come November under Alex Neil, and he needed three or four players in the window, and he got ex-Aston Villa player Scott Sinclair on a free from Celtic, and that was it. And we went from first to eighth. And we missed out on playoffs. And that was the best opportunity we had. And we needed backing. And we got Scott Sinclair on a free. Well, I'm not doubting Scott Sinclair. He was a good player for North End, don't get me wrong. But you needed more than just Scott Sinclair.
And also, I looked at your top scorer, Jakobsen. He's got 10 goals this season. I didn't see that stat.
No. The thing is with our strikers, they're like yin and yang. One of them's really good at something and terrible at the other, and the other's really good at the other thing. They don't really play together, because I mentioned Osmites for getting in behind. Jakobsen did have that, but he had a really terrible ACL injury. And I feel like he kind of lost his pace to get into behind. So he's had to mould his game. And I just don't feel like this game really, obviously against Villa, really suits him. Because you're needing someone to break the pressure of Aston Villa to be able to, even if it's just a long ball over the top, to try and, you know, take the pressure off our back line. I feel like Osmanic is going to be the one. But with Reece as well, when Reece does score, he doesn't score normal goals. He'll miss a sitter from 2 yards, but then score from 30. So it's one of those. If he does play...
He scores a screamer instead.
He does. If he does play, don't get me wrong. If I see him, you know, the ball getting cut across in the middle of the box, I'd be like, he's not going to score this. But if the ball drops to him 30 yards out, I'm like, oh, come on, maybe.
So, let's talk about the international duty. So, do you think after international duty, the likes of Morgan Rogers, Ezri Konsa, and Marcus Rashford, do you think their performances could be affected by tiredness?
I hope so. I absolutely hope so. But I don't think so. They're right at the top of their game, aren't they? Realistically, they're getting the best recovery. They'll be in them leg suits, you know, rejuvenating their muscles. They're the top professionals. They're not Preston players that may have kebabs after the game sometimes after a victory. they are bang on it for all their performance. And I feel like, to be fair, especially with Concert and especially with Rashford as well, it keeps them at match fitness and it keeps them there. If you've gone away for 2 weeks, I know North End players that have gone to Dubai for a week, and it's like you're coming up against Marcus Rashford, who's just scored. Well, he's not scored, he's just played, you know, the highest level of international football. And I just hope that North End's Dubai trips actually picked up something rather than going partying or something. Yeah. I don't think tiredness is going to be a thing, especially for the Villa players.
That's good. In the Emery, anyway. Don't we just mentioned it earlier about rotation? That Emery's the best manager to do that.
He is, and no matter what, when it comes to tournament football, and you may look at the team and go, I'm not too sure about this, you've always got the trust there of your manager that goes, you know what, maybe he's right. I feel like Unai Emery, every decision he makes in terms of tournament and football, he has spot on. So if he does, you know, turn to rotate,
well, do you trust
he
him?
Usually gets spot on. Yeah, he will be.
Yeah, so the only player I do think that might need a rest is Morgan Rogers. I do think Rogers has played a lot of minutes. I don't know, he could get burnout maybe.
Potentially, but I mean, I feel like if he's going to drop him, he's always got that option there of, you know, maybe the last half an hour or so, if it is 0-0.
You can always do that.
I remember Morgan Rogers when he was at Blackpool and Middlesbrough, and I never anticipated him to be as good as he is now.
Why is it how he's developed so much?
He has, and I feel like... I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, he's gone from here to playing under Emery, and he's up here.
And England's like,
yeah, he's... it's an unbelievable rise, and it's how you've done. Like, you see the players, they do rises, and you see the club, and they've done a rise to be able to get to it. And to be fair, Villa's probably the one team that you look at as a Championship club that have, you know, you've been there in the Championship, you've grinded it out.
A bit of a journey.
Yeah. And that's what I think all fans of the Championship, they look for, and they hope that one day they'll be able to do the same.
Yeah, I think also they scout him. Well, I mean, you know, the head of, you know, the football operations.
Yeah.
The Montreal Sporting Director and Emery, they saw a player there and they knew somebody they could do a project on.
100%. And how it's worked out, eh? I mean, he's probably a 50, 60 million pound player now, minimum. Mm. And he's not going to be sold. So, I mean, you've got a real threat on your hands there, especially.
I think it's one of the most important players at the moment.
Yeah. And, I mean, you're probably going to be signing Rashford. You're probably going to be signing Asensio. I mean, what a front three. I mean, that challenge is probably one of the best in the Premier League for the players you've got in the final third. Yeah. So, I mean, you've come a long way from, you know, Jonathan Codger up top, put it that way.
Oh, no, we have come a long way since those days. So, oh, Oliver, from Preston point of view,
yep.
So what players do we need to be aware of? Anyone's posing a danger?
Yeah, so I think I just alluded to it a tiny bit before, but if we're able to get the ball into the middle of the park and we're able to get Stefan Fordarson on the ball and Mas Frokjaer as well, I feel like them both are our best chance of being able to create something. And I mean, they're not on the level of the Premier League, but in terms of, they have these moments of magic that you're just thinking, wow, how have we got them there? And then they'll stink out of the gaff for the next 80 minutes. But it's those moments of magic that you just got to look for. And I feel like if the ball's in the centre of the park...
That used to be what Steven Gerrard used to say.
Yeah.
The moment of magic. Yeah.
You could be naff for 90 minutes, but if you bring up that moment of magic for 1 second and potentially create that chance or get that goal, folklore hero at North End. But yeah, Stefan Fordarson, number 22, the big guy who's got a ponytail and he's about 6'3". He wears a headband, and then obviously in front of him, Mads Frokjaer, number 10. So a bit of a Scandinavian duo, an Icelandic international, and a Danish.
Do you remember Bjarnason?
Oh, the one with the beard.
That's it. We have him at the ice man. We used to have him.
Yeah. I think to be fair, I think they might have played together.
Steve Bruce, the manager then.
I think they actually played together in the Icelandic in the internationals, because Fordarson's now 26, 27. So in his earlier ages, I think he might have just got there because he was a midfielder, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, midfielder.
Been a great duo, wasn't it? Fordarson and obviously the Iceman from Villa. I mean, that's going back, I don't know how many years that would have been. But
yeah,
I
remember that goal that he scored. Did ever against Wolves? Lewis Brampton was in the team then.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, you're talking some players here, aren't you, from Villa? You're talking Robert Snodgrass, the Iceman, and now look at his.
No, look at the players we've got now, yeah.
It's chalk and cheese, and it's unbelievable. But yeah, for us, Stefan Fordarson and Mads Frokjaer are definitely, if we are going to make any impact on the game.
We're going to come to the last question. So do you think Aston Villa will end the season strong then?
Yeah. I think you'll win the FA Cup.
That'd be a dream come true if that happens.
Yeah, I think you'll win the FA Cup. I hope you get as far as possible in Champions League. It may be a step too far this season. I think you may get through the next round and see who you get there. In terms of the league, I can see you getting fifth place. I can see you sneaking up. It is. And, I mean, Villa's one of those teams that when they go on a run, they look unstoppable. And I feel like if there is a team to be able to go on a run for the end of the season and nick that final place, I think it'll be yourself. So I don't think you'll win the Champions League this season. I think you will pick up.
It'd be nice to get to maybe that semi-final and play Real Madrid. That'd be amazing if that would happen.
Can you imagine that? I mean, you're coming up against Mbappe, you're coming up against Vinicius Jr., you're coming up against...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to mention him now. Blues player, ex-Blues player.
Yep.
I'm sure he'd get a nice reception down at Villa Park. I think you will actually get to the quarters or semis.
Well, PSG, I think we have to know that first leg is very important.
It is.
We need to stay in the tie.
Anything. The thing is, if you're still in the game, well, is it at Parc des Princes, at their place, Parc des Princes?
Yeah, first, yeah.
I think if you're still in the game, come Villa Park, anything can happen. It's, you know, midweek, under the lights. It reminds me of when they played Newcastle at St James's Park, and it was one of those special games where they won 3 or 4-1, and it was unbelievable. I think you'll come fifth in the league, and I think you'll win the FA Cup. That's my prediction for Villa.
Well, that would be a great season, that one. If that happened, that'd be a great season.
And I anticipate you to do it, because you've got the players, you've got the manager, and I think probably it's about time that, you know, you picked up some silverware.
You see, you know, Emery, though, he's building a legacy at Villa Park. All he needs now is that trophy.
And once it comes, I feel like it'll push you on to do more. I mean, I know the players that you've attracted are incredible at the moment, but once you get that silverware and players understand that, you know, you're competing for these trophies, the types of players that you'll be able to pick up. I know you sold John Duran for God knows how much money. I feel like you'll be able to get an unbelievable caliber of player in the summer window if you're able to pick up some silverware this season.
And to go with Marco Asensio, he's been a real breath of fresh air for Villa. I mean,
there's these players that, I mean, I know you look at PSG and you look at the squads they have, even with like teams like Bayern or Real Madrid, you know, just these players that potentially aren't just getting first team football. The quality that they do have when they come to the Premier League is unbelievable. I mean, you say a breath of fresh air. He's probably blown everyone over with how good he's been.
He's
been absolutely tremendous, and to be fair, he looks like he's really enjoying his football. So I wouldn't put it past you to be able to make him a permanent come summer.
Also, like every time he started, he like gives the whole team a lift. And you sort of know a player like that. You sort of know his ability, what he can do.
He kind of reminds me of how Jack Grealish was for you in the Championship. That's how it kind of reminds me of. That player that you can look towards to, you know, bring a bit of quality, you know, put the game on his back. It reminds me of that. I mean, it may be an awful reference because Jack Grealish in the Championship was absolutely unbelievable. But it just reminds me of that. Just a slight inkling that, you know, you've got these players that can do that. And that's what you need as a squad.
Every time you started, you scored like in every game.
Well, I hope he doesn't start on Sunday.
You hope for that.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't start on Sunday after that. Yeah, no, I'm all right. Unbelievable talent, and I think you've just got to be excited as a Villa fan for the rest of the season.
Does he? I don't know, it's the touches that he makes. He's got great little awareness as well.
If I'm trying to like compare him, and then obviously I'm looking at Arlott, and it's like, yeah, it's men against boys, really. It's like comparing, God knows. I can't even compare it. It's that much of a level difference in terms of what we have compared to someone like Marco Asensio, who's played for PSG, he's played for Spain, he's now banging him in for Aston Villa. But yeah, fingers crossed on Sunday, we can just probably shy him away and keep him on the bench. Unai, if you're listening, just rest everyone, please.
Yeah, we're going towards the end of the podcast. So what is your score prediction?
I'll give you two. I'll give you my heart and my head.
Yep.
Heart is saying P&E rob a 1-0 win, but my head's saying Villa win 2-0. I'm expecting you to score via a set piece, and then obviously once you do and we have to come out and play, it'll play into Villa's hands. We'll overexpose and you'll come and do us on the counter-attack like you mentioned. I mean, you've got Marlon Rashford, you've got pace to burn. But yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 Villa.
I'll go for a 3-1 win to Villa. I think we'll concede, but we've got enough quality to get the job done, I think.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Far too much quality for us. And I just hope that it'll be one of those days at Deepdale that maybe you're not on your game, but we're coming up against the best tournament manager in the world. So he's going to take no prisoners when it comes to players having a bad game. So, yeah, bang up for it. And I just hope maybe, just maybe, we'll have a chance.
Well, thank you, everyone, for watching. On Monday, I'll be back with a match preview episode before the Brighton game. And I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't. Make sure to hit the like button. Make sure to give it a share. And give us a good review if you're listening via audio. Also, make sure to let me know your thoughts in the comments section. Thank you so much, Oliver, for your time. All right, I'm going to wrap up this episode. In Villa forever. Up the Villa and up the FA Cup.